pick you up on your feet and keep you walking in your sleep.
Yes, little one, everything is going to be alright.
Are you afraid of what's
happening? Everything is going to turn out just fine. As a matter of fact, everything is alright. You are listening right now to Tippy Talk, and it is time to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful, all the wonderful sounds. And now it's time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Felsenstein. And today I would like to start with a quote before I go into my story, because we are looking for your story, and so I'm going to give you my story until you call me and tell me your story. And so I have a wonderful quote of the day, which I actually have two quotes. And this one is by Jerry Spinelli, and he's a writer. And he says, live today, not yesterday, not tomorrow. Inhabit your moments. Don't rent them out to tomorrow. And I think that's really appropriate for today, because of course now is all we have, but since today is a big challenge for me, being in the hospital, living today and looking for the moment, for the enlightenment in the moment, is really helping me to deal with that. And then the second quote that I told you I was going to give you, I received from Neil Donald Walsh, who is the author of the books Conversation with God. And he says that change is the natural order of things and not something that you benefit from resisting. We live in a time of enormous upheaval on a global scale, and more people are seeing huge changes in their personal lives as well as in the nature of the world in which we live. So move with grace in the face of these changes, for every change brings you to an incredible opportunity for growth. Breathe, relax, and know with confidence that all things will work out for you. By Neil Donald Walsh. And the amazing thing is how appropriate this quote that he happened to send me yesterday was for my situation of being here, and also for the fact that I already said to be in the moment and that everything's going to be all right. And even the song that I picked for today says everything is going to be all right. So we got signs from three different places that everything is going to be all right. And so we can smile and take on the day knowing with full confidence that everything will be all right, no matter what today brings. But I am going to be going back to the hospital. My mother is still there. And I just wanted to continue and let you know a little bit more of what is going on in the hospital, because I'm not there right now. So yes, my mother is still in the hospital. They said she would be released on Tuesday or Wednesday. And I was pretty sure that when they say Tuesday or Wednesday, for sure it wouldn't be on Tuesday. And of course, I was right again. And so today she is supposed to be released, and I hope that she will be, but I won't know until I get there. But now they have her on blood thinner. So the new medication that they added to her was blood thinner. And of course, because they caused a urinary tract infection with the tube that they inserted to extract her urine, she's also on antibiotics. And between the two and the side effects, that's making her weaker and more vulnerable to have more complications. So I really do hope that they allow her to go home today and that she's able to go home today. They said that if they do send her home, they will send her home with two oxygen tanks, one big one to keep in the house that they will actually deliver to the house. That's really nice. And one little one that's going to be portable, so in case we have to go somewhere, we can take that oxygen with us. And that's because her oxygen intake ability right now is still very low. What I found yesterday in the hospital when I came, which was also on Saturday and on Sunday, my mother is unable to feed herself. She's been unable to eat by herself for a while. So here she is in the hospital. The regular helpers that she has are not going to get paid because the hospital is in charge. But what is the hospital doing? They don't have anybody to feed her. So they come in with a food tray, stick it on the table next to her, and walk away. And guess what? She's not going to eat because she's unable to eat by herself. So if I didn't walk in on Sunday, 3 hours after breakfast was served and lunch was already served, she didn't eat because there was nobody to feed her. And of course I fed her, and of course I made sure that she was okay. But could you imagine what would have happened if I was not there? And that's how important it is for you to be next to anyone that is in the hospital, because those kind of things happen all the time. And so I asked the social worker why nobody's feeding her. Oh, what are you talking about? We have somebody that can feed her. Well, you know what? I was there. Nobody showed up. I asked the nurse, why can't anybody feed her? Oh, no problem. I'll get somebody to feed her. 4 hours later, nobody came in to feed her still. They didn't even know I fed her, but there was nobody there. So basically, really, if I wouldn't have been there, she would have starved. And she would not have eaten anything. And in her kind of condition, if she doesn't eat for a day or two, she will forget how to eat. And she will never be able to eat again. Because I don't think that that's reversible. So that's one of the beautiful things about hospitals. You're not on top of it. Things like that are very, very common. Another thing that really bothers me is that there's no way that she can rest and sleep at night, besides the fact of all the machines that are beeping and wake you up every 5 minutes when you sleep. They also decide that randomly, every hour or two, they come and they take a blood test or check the heart rate or check whatever it is that they check, and whether she's sleeping or not. And they always walk in right after she finally falls asleep. And they torment her by waking her up and doing it whenever it's convenient for them. So I send them away. I said, please, you're not doing it now. She just fell asleep. So the person that came in gave me a really dirty look. And as she walked out, she goes, well, I'm going to tell the nurse. I said, fine, you can tell God you're not doing it. And so she didn't do it, but was not happy about it. So that's another way that you could, and people don't realize that, you could protect your loved ones in the hospital and tell them, no, sometimes she's asleep. You're not waking her up. I understand that your job is to run around and wake up everybody or not. I mean, you do have to do what you have to do. But sometimes you also have to take into consideration that this is a hospital. People that are here do not feel well. Sleep is very important. And to wake her up every hour or so when sleeping, that's not helping her to heal. And it's a very important part of healing. Sleep is a very important part of healing. And another problem that I've been having here is that she has no control of her urine or her bowel movement, so the bed is wet. And they leave it wet for hours. They're supposed to change it as soon as it gets wet. So I have to run around and beg them to change her. And ask everybody to please come and change her. And sometimes it takes more than 2 hours of somebody actually doing it. And that's horrible. They can get a rash. smells bad. Can you imagine allowing a patient in the hospital to just lie there in urine? Well, you don't have to imagine it. That's what they do. And if they do it to her, I promise you, they do it to everybody else. And after running around and asking them to do it, it still took them 2 hours. I don't even want to imagine what it would have been like if I wasn't there and I wasn't asking them to do it. Would it maybe not get done all day long? And the truth is, they do. They are very understaffed. They have very few staff for a lot of people. And so you have to be on top of everything. And then as far as I was concerned, I had to sit on a chair, on a regular chair, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. They wouldn't even give me a lounge chair or something to lay down on at night, just a regular chair. And I had to literally close my eyes sitting on the chair. And when I asked them for either a lounge chair or a cat or a mattress or something, they said they didn't have enough. They only had a couple of them and other people were using it. So I sat on a chair, or if my sister came to relieve me, she sat on a chair. And so finally last night, I decided that I was going to take matters into my own hand. And I went out hunting for a comfortable chair where I can sit at night and relax. And I saw in one room that was not being used, a chair that wasn't being used at night. A lot of times they have a comfortable chair for patients that only use it during the day. So I asked the nurse if I can take it for the night and I'll return it in the morning. And I was really excited. But she told me that she was aware of that chair and she already promised it to someone else. And that made me feel really bad. Because here I finally found something that I might be able to use, and she already promised it to someone else. But I didn't say anything, and I just kept on looking. And the next room that I saw a lounge chair on that wasn't being used, the patient was actually standing up. And so I asked him if I can take the chair, and he said, yeah, you can have it. And it wasn't a chair that I had to return in the morning. And it wasn't a chair that I was taking away from somebody that was actually using it. So I did realize that sometimes good things are waiting for us right around the corner, where things seem as good as they can get, but they can get much, much better. And so I, of course, took the chair finally last night, and hopefully today she'll get discharged and we won't need it. But I won't know that until I get back to the hospital. But since I complained about all those things that happened in the hospital, I thought I would also cover a few of the good things. And so some of the nursing staff were really, really nice. It was really a pleasure to work with people who smile and do their best and work really hard. Like I said, they are understaffed. And so they are nonstop working. If they're not filling out a form or a report, they're running around. And no matter how hard they work, they're not doing well enough because they just are understaffed. So the nice nursing staff was such a pleasure, the ones that smiled and tried to accommodate me, that made me feel really good. Another thing that was really nice was there was another lady in the room with my mother. And her daughter was really nice. So people, again, I always come back to that. People make life good, bad, or indifferent. And meeting someone that is expanding and good energy under bad conditions. Somebody was there, the woman that was there with her mother very sick, but yet she had that nice energy of openness. Okay, so that's two things that are nice, and both of them have to do with people. And the third really nice thing they had there is my mother only eats kosher food, and she will not eat anything else. She would starve before she ate anything else. And in her condition and being sick in the hospital, I could have given her any food that was there. But the nice thing was that the hospital provided a room where the community can bring special food for people who only eat kosher. And that's an extraordinary service to provide to people. That is also amazingly wonderful. So that's really 2.5 or 3 things: the people, the nurses, the room. And then number 4, the head of cardiology, which is the department where my mother was at because she's in the hospital because she couldn't breathe. The head of the cardiology was really amazing. He actually came down into the emergency room. Well, he sent his assistant to do an evaluation. I was really thrilled because that doesn't happen very often. When you're in the emergency room, you get evaluated by the emergency room staff. You don't get evaluated by the head of the department of cardiology or whatever place you're finally going to end up in while you're still in the emergency room. So that was an extra special attention from a doctor, not just any doctor, the head of the department doctor, which was very helpful when we couldn't figure out what was wrong and we just sat around wondering. So the diagnosis, what they finally figured out, and that was after an x-ray, a MRI, a Dabbler, which is an ultrasound, and a blood test and a urine test. That's 5 tests in 1 hour. We walked in, tubes being inserted in her and drawing all kinds of things and submitting all kinds of things. They finally figured out that she had a blood clot that was blocking her from being able to breathe. And that's when they gave her the blood thinner to dissolve the blood clot. And they said that she didn't have any other blood clots except that one right between her heart and her lungs. The next day they discovered that she had another blood clot in her legs. And so they recommended that she stay on blood thinner for the rest of her life, which of course I disagree with completely. But at this point it's a non-issue, so I'm not going to say anything until the blood clots are totally dissolved. And then I'll deal with this let's keep her on blood thinner for life thing. Because how stupid can you get? I mean, why would you keep someone on the blood thinner with this horrific side effect, which I haven't even looked up, but I promise you there's a lot of really bad side effects. As a preventative, why not check on a regular basis to make sure she's not developing it? And why not give her the blood thinner when needed rather than keep someone on it for life? I know, it's just blowing my mind the way they do things. So my advice, I would say, really stay out of hospitals. I guess that's not very serious because obviously you have, when you need it, you need it. But really stay out of hospitals unless you absolutely have no choice. And always look at every choice that you have before you submit yourself to the hospital. That's my number one advice. But if you do have to go to the hospital and you do have to deal with doctors, because we all get to one point or another where we do have to do that, either for ourselves or for someone else, use your own intuition to make your final decisions on what to do. Don't just follow orders blindly because the doctor said so, or the nurse said so, or some other technician said so. Use your intuition. It's probably the right decision. And that will take you to the right place. And then another thing, demand the services that you know you should be getting. Don't sit back and allow them to neglect you. Because neglect is also a form of abuse. And that's my advice and that's my takeaway for the hospital say. Well, now I'm on my way to the hospital. I'm hoping they release her today. I thought they may release her yesterday, but they said today was going to be the day. So I'm really looking forward to going there and bringing her home and allowing her to be in a more relaxed and a more, much, much healthier type of atmosphere. We've come to the end of our time together here on Tippy Talk. It's been wonderful chatting with you today, and thank you for joining us. Don't forget, we want your story. We're here to listen to your story and share your gift. It can be any story. It does not have to be inspirational or special because of two things. We here at Tippy Talk know that your story is special and we want to hear it. And the other thing is that you're the focus of this show. You've been listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Felsenstein. We bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. Join us here on Tippy Talk every Monday at 5 p.m., even though we are transitioning now to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So look out for 5 or 7. You will be notified for more insight and information that help you grow and prosper in a more powerful life. And what's your story? Tell us right here on Tippy Talk the story of your life, your journey, and your pleasure. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the music and allow it to heal you so you can pause it and think about what you want to have healed, because this is a very powerful shamanic music that will help you and make your healing thoughts more powerful. It's kind of like a magnifier to your thoughts. So right here it is. Close your eyes and enjoy the music.